Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 6th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. The association representing civil servants, the Apex Council, says it's expecting the government to pay its workers bonuses beginning this month.
We are very hopeful and we are expecting that bonuses are going to be paid, and they will be paid, they must be paid.
The number of ordinary people suing the police and the army for human rights abuses is on the rise, and issue rights lawyers say is worrying.
All members of the disciplined forces, the disciplined services, as they are called, are actually supposed to uphold the principles of rule of law and constitutionalism.
And 9 months after the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe granted 8 commercial radio station licenses to 8 companies, only one has managed to go on air so far.
Maybe in their focus, they did not envisage in fact that when they were finally granted licenses, it would be very difficult to take off.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The association representing civil servants at the Apex Council says it is optimistic the government will honor its promise to give its workers bonuses this year. President Robert Mugabe made the promise early in the year, and Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani says civil servants are now waiting for the government to announce the bonus payment dates.
What we haven't received, though, is confirmation officially from government confirming that they will now start paying bonuses. So this is important information which we'll be seeking from government, that they quickly confirm for planning purposes. This is very important, so that as we get to the end of November into December, there is clarity on this matter.
The government is struggling, and you continue to hold those hopes of getting bonuses.
We are very hopeful and we are expectant that bonuses are going to be paid, and they will be paid, they must be paid. Although what we cannot confirm over the years, what has happened over many years, bonus has been staggered, particularly through the month of November and December. And a few people have received it in under special circumstances in January. So we still want to believe that looking at the situation, this staggering is going to continue, particularly in the month of November and December. So what is important, therefore, is that those departments that should get in November or December should quickly be communicated to.
That was Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani in Gweru speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Public Service Minister Prisca Mufumira was unavailable for comment. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says the number of ordinary people suing the police and the army for human rights abuses is on the rise, on one hand showing that some Zimbabweans now have a grasp of their rights, while on the other it raises concern. Shockingly, the list of those alleging abuse at the hands of the police include a one-year-old child, a 10-year-old, villagers, ordinary workers, political activists and lawyers. The High Court has just ordered Defence Minister Sydney Sekeramai to pay $2,000 to Harare political activist Jonathan Mushawa, who was assaulted by members of the military. The ZRP was last month ordered by the same court to pay $2,000 to a member of the Zimbabwe Election Support Network, Amon Chitando, for wrongful arrest in Bindura. In Mutare, the police paid $3,000 to Tsitsi Chimutu for alleged torture at the hands of police after she was accused of stealing at her workplace. The list is long and goes on and on. Lawyer Zimbabwe Chimba of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the reports are worrying.
Yeah, it remains a cause for concern for us, because in terms of the new constitution, In fact, it's no longer new. It's been around for more than 3 years now. All members of disciplined forces or disciplined services, as they are called, are actually supposed to uphold the principles of rule of law and constitutionalism. And in particular, they are supposed to ensure that civilians and individuals are actually protected. And what we see now is the other way around, where security forces are harassing individuals and innocent citizens.
From representing Zimbabwean citizens as a human rights lawyer yourself, would you say there is an increased awareness amongst Zimbabweans about the rights that they have under the Constitution?
Well, it could always be better. A few people are getting to know about it, but unfortunately, our government does not have resources to take the Constitution to the people. We have had conversations with the Minister of Justice where they have said that they've run out of the Constitution itself to deliver to the people and also to carry out outreach programs. And as an organization, we do this from time to time in various communities, but unfortunately, we are not able to cover the width and breadth of the country. So there are a lot of people who are still not aware of what rights they've got, but more importantly, how to access these rights.
That was lawyer Zimbabwe Jim Gwa of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Nyanga. The by-election for the Nkulumani House Assembly seat will be held as planned next month after three candidates successfully filed their nomination papers at the nomination court in Bulawayo today.
Although there had been widespread speculation that ZANU-PF would win the Nkulumani constituency seat unopposed, Kilian Spanda, the party's candidate, will now have to battle it out with two other contestants. The two, Sibusiswe Mpofu of the Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe and Ngwalo Nyati of the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe, successively filed their nomination papers along with Spanda. Spanda told Studio 7 that he is confident of winning the by-election and said his main focus would be to help uplift the lives of Nkulumani residents while also seeking ways to help revive the lawyers' industry.
What is important is delivery. Bulawayo has serious economic problems. There is poverty and unemployment. So we are trying to eradicate poverty in the city of Bulawayo and to unite people, because once people are united, it's easy to understand one another and come up with viable programs that can alleviate poverty.
Spanda, who beat former Bulawayo Mayor David Ndlovu in primary elections that were fraught with claims of irregularities by supporters of the losing candidate, said he shall work with all residents, including those from across the political divide. Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe candidate Sibusiswe Mpofu, the sole female contender in the race, told Studio 7 she fancies highly her chances of winning and would pay particular attention to orphans if she won the by-election. While other opposition parties are boycotting all elections, calling for electoral reforms, Mpofu said her party feels that change can only be brought about by participating in the election. The view was shared by Reason Munyapka, the RDZ's youth secretary, who accompanied Mpofu. The third candidate in the by-election, Ngwalo Nyati, is a former Bulawayo councillor and will contest on a Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe ticket. Nyati said he decided to take part in the election so as not to give ZANU-PF the seat on a silver platter.
I was not interested in to just go in alone, so I thought it was better for me to challenge.
Dumiso Dabengwa Sapu, which participated in recent by-elections, did not field a candidate for the Nkulumani by-election, saying it had joined other parties in boycotting all elections as a way of pushing for electoral law reforms. The Nkulumani seat fell vacant following the death of Tamsa Ngamahlangu of the MDCT last month. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
And next week we are rolling out a series looking at First Lady Grace Mugabe. Who is she? What does she stand for? What are her political aspirations? What does the future hold for her, especially as ZANU-PF battles with the succession issue? Please tune in next week as we try to answer these questions and more.
Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai today said his supporters will no longer fold their arms and watch ZANU-PF members beating their members, abuse and disturb their meetings, as happened today in Alaska, Mashonaland West Province. Arthur Chigoriwa has more details.
Speaking in Alaska Chinoy this afternoon, Tsvangirai castigated what he said was a hired ZANU-PF that was singing near the venue of his rally, saying this was a non-ZANU-PF way of intimidating and instilling fear into the people.
ZANU-PF's default mode is instill violence and intimidation and fear, Mulan. ZANU-PF harvested fear.
Tsvangirai said it was clear that the police were taking sides with ZANU-PF, yet the ZANU-PF crowd was allowed to do as it pleased, a stone throw away from his party's rally. He said while in the past he has told supporters not to retaliate when attacked by ZANU-PF supporters, this time his message is do not fold your hands and watch when being attacked.
But circumstances sometimes dictate behavior. The police are supposed to uphold. They are supposed to uphold peaceful coexistence, peaceful political activity. That's what the Constitution says. Now, in the event that that peace is provoked by individuals, the police cannot be compliant, as far as I am concerned. They cannot be compliant to that kind of action. And if members of the MDC were to take the law into their own hands and also retaliate, then all hell will break loose. We don't want that. All we are saying is that the police must be able to uphold peaceful coexistence amongst different political parties. But if there is a demonstrable bias to support one party against the other, even where there is the legal process followed, then I think that they are sowing seeds for disturbance and chaos.
ZANU-PF members tried to disturb the MDCT rally by holding their own meeting less than 100 meters from the MDCT's venue. And the riot police had to be deployed to avert potential political violence as the two groups chanted against each other. Tsvangirai's stance on retaliating when attacked was backed by MDCT National Youth Leader Yepmo Chidzivagondo, who said no individual has a monopoly to violence in the country. Away from the violence, Tsvangirai said his party will work with anyone who wants to see ZANU-PF removed from office, adding the time is ripe for President Mugabe and his party to go home and rest. He encouraged his supporters to register as voters ahead of the 2018 crucial polls, saying this is the only way they can remove what he said was the yoke put on Zimbabwean's neck by ZANU-PF. Tsvangirai said his party is the only party with the solutions to the country's problems. He chided Mr. Mugabe, saying he can sign as many memorandums of understanding with many countries, but said that will not change his political fortunes on the ground or the country's economic outlook, which continues to look grim. Reporting for Studio 7 in Alaska, Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, villagers in Maswingo resist relocation to pave way for Chinese cement project. But first, a look at regional and international news. Plans to evacuate hundreds of stranded Britons from a resort town in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula were put on hold today after Egypt suspended British flights from flying into the insurgent-riddled region. Next week's primetime Republican U.S. presidential debate will feature fewer candidates than previous debates, 8 instead of 10. The 8 on the Fox Business Network's main stage will be billionaire businessman Donald Trump, retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina, Ohio Governor John Kasich, and Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. And a banana plantation owner and the former head of Haiti's government construction agency will face off against each other in Haiti's presidential runoff next month. Nine months after the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe granted 8 commercial radio station licenses to 8 companies, only one has gone on air, with the rest citing lack of capital for their failure. The licenses were issued amidst controversy, with some players and media watchdogs saying the process was skewered towards those with links to the ruling party. The only radio station that has started operating is Ya FM, which is based in Zwishabane and is headed by former Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation Chief Executive Officer Munyaradzi Wengwerere. The companies that were issued with licenses were given 18 months to start operating, or the licenses will be withdrawn. The companies have until next year in October to start operations. We spoke with broadcaster John Masuku, whose application was turned down. He says the companies are failing to start operations because of the economic situation.
Maybe in their focus, they did not envisage the fact that when they were finally granted licenses, it would be very difficult to take off, because there will be a number of factors that they would have to consider in order for them to be able to be viable, in order to be sustainable. And they are now facing the reality of the current situation in the country. We see that most of those who are awarded licenses are linked to the ruling establishment.
But Mr. Masuku, as media practitioners, you have always been clamoring for the opening up of the democratic space. Here now is the government offering licenses, but they are not being used. What's your comment on that?
Well, there is nothing wrong with being optimistic in wanting the space to be opened, but unfortunately, at times it's partially opened, and probably one has to look at whether really these people had all the capabilities of running the station. But as I said, that yes, the licenses were offered, and these guys are facing difficulties because of the current economic situation.
And that was John Masuku, a radio broadcaster. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. And in sports news, lots of sports news today. We start off with the speculation on who wants which post in Zifa, and this is over. And the time to return to football action. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
The talk of the football fraternity this whole week has been who will contest flamboyant Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa for the presidency of the Zimbabwe Football Association. But that is over after former Harare City spokesperson Leslie Gwindi and architect Trevor Kelsey-Jewell submitted their nomination papers by the end of nomination deadline last night. Instead, action returns to the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League with a package involving all the 16 teams and spread over 2 days. The past 2 years, Dynamo supporters sang and danced to the tune of Makepe Kepe. This was after the Green Machine did their closest rivals a favor in 2013 by holding Harare City to a draw on the last day of the program and handed Dynamos the league title. The same happened last season when the Green Machine shocked ZPC Kariba 3-2, also on the last day of play, to hand Dynamos another league title above Katuruturu. However, this time it is different. This Sunday, Capes United face Dynamos at Rufaro Stadium in a game that could send Dimbare way out of the league title race fight. Both teams are struggling for form, and football follower Samson Mkumbi thinks this will raise the appetite for the game between two of the biggest teams in the land.
Yeah, the derby, we expect a very good match. We expect a very exciting game, considering that Dynamos has got a lot to play for. So is Capes United as well.
Mokombe, however, is of the opinion that Dynamos are not playing well and predicts that Capes United will, in the end, carry the day and the 3 points.
I'm tipping Capes United to come a better side.
Dynamos are desperate for 3 points as defeat for them coupled by a win for Chicken in Overwawa and FC Platinum's success against Harare City would end their slim hopes of the championship. What would also be of interest for Dynamos fans is the fact that the popular Harare club will only fulfill their fixture on Sunday, a day after both Chicken Inn and FC Platinum would have played their games. However, coach Tony Raindiraya is refusing to throw in the towel, contending that he wants to win all the remaining matches and hope the two teams above them falter.
Just have to be strong, look ahead and finish off the season and then think of the future after that.
All the weekend's fixtures are as follows. Saturday, Hauma versus Flame Lily Luveve, FC Platinum versus Harare City Mandava, ZPC Kariba versus Chapungu Nyamunga, and Wawa versus Chicken Inn Ascot. Sunday, Wangi versus Cholocho the Colliery, Dynamos versus Capes United Rufaro Stadium, Triangle versus Dongoso Mills Gibo, and Highlanders versus Buffaloes at Barberfield Stadium. Now to cricket. The Zimbabwe Cricket National Team begin their tour of Bangladesh with their opening ODI match at the Shere Bangladesh National Stadium tomorrow. Zimbabwe needs to win this 3 ODI series at all costs as it will play a role in their dream of playing at the 2019 World Cup. The International Cricket Council have changed their format of World Cup qualification. The Chevrons, who had the luxury of automatic qualification as a test-playing nation, will now have to fight to earn their place at the World Cup gathering. Starting from the 2019 World Cup finals, only hosts England and the 7 top-placed teams, according to the ICC ODI rankings, will have direct entry for the World Cup. Bangladesh and Zimbabwe will play their second ODI match on Monday before rounding up the series on Wednesday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Football Association Electoral Committee is expected to sit tomorrow to vet names of candidates contesting the posts of ZIFA president, vice president, and board members in an election to be held next month. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached a ZIFA spokesman Olisani Gwesela for an update on the ZIFA electoral process.
In terms of our election roadmap, the ZIFA electoral committee will sit on the 7th of November in Harare and vet all the candidates that submitted their nomination forms.
What will they be looking for?
I would like to confirm that all processes will be conducted in conformity with the ZIFA constitution and in adherence to the ZIFA electoral court. In terms of the ZIFA constitution, for those that want to participate in the election of the president, it should be 40 years above, present evidence beyond reasonable doubt that they have been received by administrators for a period of 5 years. It is also prevent a letter or clearance from the police that they have not been previously criminally convicted. That is also prevent evidence that they have been nominated by bona fide members of the ZIFA. All these procedures are done in conformity with the Constitution. There is also a committee to retreat and come up with a decision on whether to allow the candidate to contest or to disqualify the candidate.
That was ZIFA spokesman Xolisani Gwesela speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Contestants for the ZIFA board positions are former Warriors player Edzai Kasinauyo, Caps United chairperson advocate Louis Uriri, Joseph Musariri of Zimbabwe Beach Soccer, ZIFA Southern Region chairperson Musa Mandaza, ZIFA Central Region chairperson Felton Kamambo, ZIFA Eastern Region chairperson Piraishe Mabena, and former Lengthens director Bidi Musa Gwasira. The other contestants are former referee Wilfred Mukuna and former Shooting Stars chairperson Louis Matindife. Those contesting the post of ZIFA vice president are former Highlanders vice chairman Elkanah Dube, former Dynamos chairperson Lincoln Mutasa, and former ZIFA vice president Omega Sbanda. Meanwhile, opposition MDC formations say politicians have no business running to lead the Zimbabwe Football Association. The political parties today lamented the candidacy of ZANU-PF member Philip Chiyangwa to head the troubled association. MDC leader Welshman Ncube said in a statement that putting Chiyangwa in charge will spell disaster for the game of soccer in Zimbabwe. His sentiments were echoed by deputy spokesperson Tabita Kumalo of the MDCT.
Politicians have no stake in the football fraternity. Not at all. Because we do not want the friendly football fraternity for everybody to be canonized, to be politicized to an extent that even supporters would not be able to go and watch soccer at any stadium. Because at the end of the day, you will find it to say, the moment the supporters go to the stadium, instead of people watching soccer, they will be now be bombarded with propaganda from ZANU-PF. And we are saying, Chiyangwa has no place in the soccer world. He has no clue what is meant to be done, how to be done, when to be done, and why it should be done.
But Mr. Chiyangwa argues that he's well qualified to lead this organization.
I don't understand where his qualifications come from. If he's qualified in terms of funding them, how does he find an institution which should be able to self-fund itself? We have soccer matches where stadiums are filled to capacity, but there's no money to show for it.
That was MDCT's deputy spokesperson Tabita Kumalo on the line from Harare. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will talk with you, the listeners and experts, about the ongoing search for ZIFA officials, including the president. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories. The association representing civil servants, the Apex Council, says it is expecting the government to pay its workers' bonuses beginning this month. The number of ordinary people suing the police and the army for human rights abuses is on the rise, an issue rights lawyers say is worrying. And 9 months after the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe granted 8 commercial radio station licenses to 8 companies, only one has managed to go on air so far. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a restful weekend ahead. Good night, Zimbabwe.